Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the 2nd of April, 2015, and I was just reading a little article here. I was actually reading two articles this morning that are, one's kind of intense and long. I'm going to talk about that in just a second, but Governor Pence of Indiana, it looks like he, you know, I mean, he's definitely vacillating, and he wants some new stuff done. The guy, the governor of Arizona or of Arkansas, same way. And it's really weird because it loses a lot in its interpretation. This came out, and it's really weird that this came out all during the time when Hillary Clinton is really being investigated, okay, for the criminal acts that she's involved with. And I say that because if, in fact, they prove out what she did, it will be criminal. And it's so weird that you or I can cause can do something that would cause us to be prosecuted in a criminal way, and there's really nothing you can do about it. But when you have a ton of money and a ton of influence in various ways, you can stop things from happening, cover them up, blah blah blah. It bothers me to see these guys that are taking a stand for something that is righteous and good, and again, it's really deep. You get into a lot of stuff. There's just recently another gal, I believe it's a bakery. I can't remember. I think it was a bakery. It might have been a florist shop. But it's going to happen more and more and more where we see these people. It's a pizzeria, believe it or not, where they said that they'll serve anyone, but they don't want to be doing a gay or same-sex marriage and cater pizzas to that. I've not really heard of a catered, you know, wedding for pizza, but so now they're so frightened that they aren't even, so far they haven't been able to open their doors back up. They've been threatened. What gets me is the tolerance end of things. It only goes one way. If you're conservative and or Christian, now you can be a conservative person politically and even sociologically and not be a Christian. You're just very conservative in your views, and certainly not liberal, all the income free. So if you're conservative and even more so, plus being a Christian, you have no rights. You make one comment, one statement, and you're going to get slammed and trashed. If I tried to present, and I'm going to try and do a little of this on Sunday in our service, the aspect of, you know, what is this time of year all about and why the push for Easter, and you basically have eggs and rabbits and all the various things that happen, you know, during the Easter season. And it's just a season. It's as far as, you know, commodities are, you know, buying and selling chocolate and peanut butter filled Easter eggs, which I love, by the way. It has nothing to do with the resurrection of our Christ. It has nothing to do with Passover and what was foretold with the Passover. And we should be paying more attention to the Passover and what it actually meant to the Jews and what our Passover in Christ means not only to us but to everyone who will receive his gift of eternal life. So I'm going to try and talk about that a little bit, but you can really get into a couple different corners trying to do that, and people are going to go, what? Especially if you come against the little Easter egg hunts and all the things that people like to do and blah, blah, blah. And I think as Christians, we don't have these bizarre tendencies to hold on to these pagan practices. We're not doing it as intentionally worshiping pagan things. But unfortunately, there are some people that do. There are some people that have, and that's where it has its roots. And even though many, many people, in fact, probably the majority of the people that are involved in it don't do it for that, and they always look to Jesus and look to the cross and that, but they don't understand where they came from. And one of the other things about celebrating, like the spring equinox that we just went through, and, you know, and coming into spring, and then the winter solstice, you know, that particular time when everybody was, the pagans were worshiping their pagan gods. Christians could do that. Christians could do things and not appear like they were doing something, because what was happening and what has happened is Christians have been persecuted since the beginning. Since the beginning. And many people of faith have been persecuted. So what people have learned to do is how to clandestinely still worship their God, still come together, and just not be randomly slaughtered. And so, or even more that specifically, enumerated and then slaughtered. So, but I'll tell you some things that are pictures that are absolutes and not absolutes. What I mean by that is, if you take it exactly what it says, it scripturally, it will help you. And then you can look at the picture of what it is and apply that to many areas of your life. We're going to look at that right now in Proverbs chapter 2. Because I believe this is specific, but there are also many pictures here that apply. And we'll just try and look at a couple of them. I'm going to read through the scripture to you. It's just 22 verses in this one. And we'll just listen to what it says. And without reading any of the titles or anything that are put into various different publications of Bibles, different companies, Thomas Nelson and Zondervan and whoever else would do, the Lachman Foundation would do a translation. Let's just read what the scripture says. I'm going to talk about it for a minute. My son, chapter 2, verse 1, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice, equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the evil way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land. The blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. There's a tremendous amount of wisdom there. And then when wisdom and understanding are personified, because it says, as we look through there, if you cry for wisdom, let your voice, if you hear her, or seek her, or look for her. In other words, not hear her, but I'm sorry, seek her, or search for her. And quite honestly, the words of wisdom you'll hear. So when wisdom is personified as her, it what that does is it leads over into the next part that talks about the adulteress. Now you can be, and this is in the feminine end of it, but can be either side of that coin of adultery. And I think adultery today, and then the picture that I was talking about being painted, I think that is physically, emotionally, spiritually about a marriage situation and the adulterous ways. I think that it also applies to our faith, and that's why I brought up the part about why do we have Christmas? Why do we have Easter? Why do we have these things? Okay, Christ Mass, I use that term, and I don't want to get into where we're a separate little group that's so pure, we do everything exactly right. And then on the Passover time and the resurrection day and all this, we say all the right words and everything, completely separate us from anything that could be designated as pagan. The problem with that is, especially in the West, people think of you as being odd. They don't understand. I think we need to present the truth, but use terms that people will understand and explain why people are doing things. It's very easy to turn our back on things of the Lord by doing things that everyone else is doing, and yet claiming we're Christians and claiming we're doing the right thing. So you end up with this, and it talks about the adulterous woman. Look what it says here. To deliver you from the strange woman. That's kind of an odd deal, you know, strange woman. It just means unknown or not yours. From the adulteress who flatters with her words. Now, that could be a guy flattering a woman, quite honestly. A woman flattering a guy. It works both ways, but it's going to leave her companion of her youth. It talks about someone who is married to someone else, going after someone else, and being involved with someone else. It doesn't right here talk anything about physical. Right here it's talking about, quite honestly, emotional. And you can take this to spiritual too, but emotional, because the physical act hasn't happened yet here. This is just drawing people away. Forgets the covenant for God. Her house sinks down to death. That's where it goes to. And her tracks lead to the dead. That's what happens. Listen to what it says. None who go to her return again. That almost says that if you get involved in that situation, you're done. Now, what it means is if you buy into that and then don't get out of it, in other words, if you say this is okay, and today we have, with all these laws that are being passed and these ones that are trying to be passed, to make it legal to sin, what you have at that point is you have legal recourse. You have legal situations that say, I can do this, and you, no matter who you are, cannot tell me I can't do this because it's legal. And you have to give me all the benefits you would to anyone else, and you cannot, quote, discriminate. In other words, that old sign that used to be on stores that we used to see, we refuse the right to serve anyone, or we refuse the right to give service to anyone. In other words, we don't want your kind here. Okay, so now what that is, it moves into we're bullies, we're moving into, you know, discrimination, and then they're trying to dovetail that back to ethnicity. And what a slam that is to people who have suffered because of their ethnicity, the color of their skin. And it has been horrible in this country and around the world. How dare they take a sinful situation and dovetail that? Now, when I say sinful, I mean this: missing the mark of perfection. I'm not saying people who don't enjoy it, people aren't prosperous, people who are in same-sex relationships are just the scourge of the earth. In fact, they might be some of the most prominent people, wealthy, you know, everything on the outside, and everything that they do around with is all profitable for everyone else around them. They just have a different kind of a sexual preference. Here's the problem. It's missing the mark of perfection according to God's word, because they cannot procreate. They have to actually go against what they say is normal and do something that they say is not okay or not normal to be able to propagate, to be able to populate their world with people that believe the same as they do. They need the heterosexual relationships for that to happen. So by the same token, if people are in business and doing things, they need people of all kinds to be able to come in, because there's not enough of one group to come in and support that group forever. That's why that pizzeria is shutting down. They can't even open up. With a small minority of people keeping them from opening up, they're fearful. They fear for their lives. They've been threatened. The Word of God applies to this specific situation, and then we can look at it how it applies to the spirit of the situation. So if this is just stuff, if it's just things, because right here we're not necessarily talking about the physical aspect of adultery, it is talking about adultery. Why? Well, because Israel was constantly talked about being an adulterous group. What did it mean? Well, they turned to someone else other than God. For us as Christians, you turn to someone else other than Jesus. And I know people like to put the term out there, spiritual adultery, but just call it what it is. It's adultery. It's It's going from the one of your youth, going from where you were born, where you what's supposed to be done, and turning to someone else. And there's so much of that going on. If you want to call it spiritual adultery, okay. But the point being is, it's not what God wants for us. Now, is it going to continue to grow? Yes. Is it been around? Absolutely. It's been around since man has been on this earth. Unfortunately, the sin happened in the Garden of Eden. There's not one child born outside of sin. Adam and Eve were created. The first child they had was born in sin. The first child they had. They had already sinned. The sin wasn't that Cain killed Abel. The sin was that Adam and Eve were not obedient to God, so we can take it all the way back to that. And when you take some time to study Genesis, you can see the real inner workings of everything we deal with today in its most simplistic form, because it was not complicated. If you look at this, it gives you an if and then. As a matter of fact, it says, my son, if, in chapter 2, verse 1, if. So you go all the way down to 5. If you do all these things, Daniel will discern the fear of the Lord. Look at him real quick. If you receive my sayings, treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. You're not going to do it unless you are doing all these things. You can't just, okay, one day you wake up and go, you know, a good idea would be for me to be a Christian. That's not how this all works. You need to really decide and really seek and really seek out what God wants for you. So I think it's important that we have some people that are making some decisions and trying to make some decisions. And I don't know where Governor Pence is. I don't have a clue of what he believes. I really don't know too much about him at all, you know, except for, it's sad that we have to start making legislation pass for religious freedom when we already have it. That is what makes our country great. We have that. You can do that. But if my faith affects you in a negative manner, if my believing in Jesus causes you death, causes you injury, not because my business, I don't want you to patronize my business. I don't want to go into a business that doesn't want me there. I don't want to go into a business that doesn't want me there. So if you don't want me there, I'm not going to go in, and I'm not going to go to court and try it. Everybody wants to sue everybody for everything nowadays. People are very diverse, okay? But we don't need to be diverse as Christians and say, well, I just got to accept them because they're different than me. God's word is telling us specifically how to do this, specifically what we're supposed to do. And if we continue on with that, you know, if we discern the fear of the Lord and we discover knowledge, how is that going to happen? It says the very next verse, God gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom, and who is it for? The upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding their paths, the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you'll discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will enter your soul. You'll want that. You'll desire that. But see, people right now don't want that. They want what makes them feel good. It goes back to we go into the New Testament and find out what people are going to not stand for sound doctrine. They want their ears tickled. They want to hear something new and cool and great. That's just how things are. The wisdom that's available to us here is unbelievable. And so we need to do that. And we can stay away. And there's some real, I mean, it gets, I don't know how many times we're going to hear in the next few weeks about adultery. It's going to be, it'll actually get kind of graphic to a certain extent, because there is that aspect of it that's real, and it's out there, and it's everywhere, and it's all the time. And if you don't think that you can't get caught up in it, you better be careful, because if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. It could happen to anyone. So we need to keep our eyes. We need to trust God. We need to honor God. We need to know the value of having wisdom, the value of having knowledge. It will protect us. And it says here, if you get involved in being an adulterer or with an adulteress, and you stay there and you enjoy that, you're not coming out. You cannot live both lives. You have got to be able to discern that it's, I can't be there, I can't go there. And you can do that with your faith, you can do that with your job, you can do that with, again, we can, it can be in an adulterous situation, in a physical sexual relationship, but it can also be with where your allegiance lies. It could be with your faith, where you think you can add a bunch of things in that aren't in the Word of God, and it'll be okay. Or you can subtract some things you don't like, and it will be okay. No, that's not what God said. As a matter of fact, it says in Revelation, if you add to or take away from, all the plagues will be added to and all the blessings will be taken away from. We can't do that. Some people say, that's the book of Revelation. Okay, that's good enough. We can go study there and see the same things that we're seeing here. God's wisdom is for us to have. Discretion will guard us, and understanding will watch over us. If, it's always, if we do this, then we get this. If we do this, then we get this. If we will actually submit to God. But the problem today is people don't want to submit to anybody. People just don't want to submit to anybody. They can't submit. And so since that seems to be a prevailing undertow with everyone, it's very difficult for the body of Christ today to get the message out there, because it's all a message of submission, and people don't like to do that. Anyway, we are going to be back here on the 6th, which is Monday, and that will be after we get to Resurrection Sunday. Find a calendar out there that isn't from a Christian bookstore that says Resurrection Sunday. Mine, I'm looking right at, right up here, it says Easter. And my wife, Ray, just said her Christian calendar says Easter. That's how it's so ingrained. Nothing about bunnies. Nothing about eggs. I like eggs. I hate to say it, I like double eggs. You know, some people would freak out when I say that. Let's call them heavenly eggs. I just like eggs that are hard-boiled and cut, and then you mix the center with some, you know, put a little cream in there, you know, and then put your mayo, maybe a little horseradish, a little mustard, whatever you put in there, and then sprinkle a little paprika, put them on there, and eat them. Call them whatever you want to call them. I like eating those. I like them in the morning. I like them at night. Okay? I like chocolate. I mean, it's commodities out there, but people are so acclimated that, like she said, Christian, quote, Christian calendar. Yeah. Yeah, it has Easter on there. So I pray that you have a wonderful day celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a wonderful weekend. I pray you understand and think about the Passover, what just happened, what's happening and what happened just a few thousand years ago, more than a few, but a number of thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years ago, Jesus was our Passover. Prior to that, it was the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, but prior to that, the Lamb blew over the doorpost, protecting from death. You want protection from death? It comes through the blood of the Lamb, and the Lamb is Jesus Christ. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, celebrating, praising, and worshiping, being with your family, enjoying each other, and give the glory to God. See you.